Hey everybody, Indiana Jim here. Have for you the interview with Earl Newton, creator and producer of Stranger Things, along with Dave Cantor, his co-producer, and also the producer of the Audiometrics interviews at StrangerThings.tv. Also joining us for the interview was Mistress Jet, very, very nice girl that I met at Balticon. She hung out with me for three of my marathon interviews on Sunday night. This one went down at 11:30, and we talked well into Monday morning. And so this here is that interview. Now, Mistress Jet, she's got a couple things going on. She's appearing in the 118 Migration Zombie Audio Drama Podcast. I've listened to the first episode, and it's pretty unique. The first episode is just this guy writing in his journal, and the stuff he says, he mixes this really horrific post-apocalyptic scene and then says something funny to make you laugh, and it's just very well done. I think it's going to have some campiness in it. It's got a kind of a dark sense of humor. It sounds like it's going to be pretty good, and she has not yet appeared in it, but she is upcoming. If you go to 118migration.com, also you can go to mistressjet.wordpress.com and find her blog there. She posted some videos from Balticon 42, especially one of T. Morris ranting and raving in the Live Survival Guide. So you can check those links out, and here is the interview. I hope you enjoy it.
All right, so hit me.
Hello, Earl.
Hello, Indiana.
Earl Newton. I'm here with Earl Newton and Dave Cantner.
Cantor. There is no second N.
Okay, no second N. Do you get that a lot?
Yes, actually.
Okay. A lot of people don't know Dave, but let's start with Earl first. Earl is what? The
executive producer and the creator of Stranger Things.
Very cool. Which I'm sure people are used to hearing that voice. And Dave, who are you, sir?
Producer for Stranger Things and also the producer and host of Audiometrics, the sound of the soul of Stranger Things.
Very cool. Ding! And StrangerThings.tv, obviously. Audiometrics, what's the website for that?
Same place.
Same place. Okay.
Actually, if you go StrangerThings.tv, I believe, /audiometrics. /audiometrics. You'll be able to find it there, too.
You boys.
Yes, sir.
With the indomitable Matt Wallace, who I had on earlier.
Yes.
Who is a sexy mother. What's the rating of the show, by the way?
I will bleep it, if I must.
Okay, so we'll keep it clean.
We'll keep it clean.
What are we saying? Like a PG-13? I can say hell.
You can say whatever you want, and I'll just take care of it in post.
Okay.
I do post.
Matt Wallace, who is a sexy mother father.
That's really weird. Is he like ambidextrous or something? Wait, that's not the word.
Hey, you know, whatever gets you through the day. I know I found that to be true in my whole life. You know, sometimes the right hand just gets a little familiar.
Or through the con.
Yes.
I am the host, right? So I'm extremely tired.
I understand that.
I'm sure you guys are too. You guys,
slept
you boys.
Slept an hour today.
Oh my God.
In three different 20-minute blocks.
Yes.
A cumulative hour.
Because that's how long it takes to render an act of the show.
And sir, that is how we roll.
That's right.
You boys are responsible for probably the single coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
As far as... Man, you're really digging that gel, Dave.
Dave's becoming close friends with Jim's hand sanitizer. Home.
I think I'm gonna have to use some just because my OCD is kicking in.
I just need to check real quick. Does this hand sanitizer have any ID? Because I don't want to get any of you in some sort of like jailbait situation. That's all I'm saying. Because you're really enjoying that hand sanitizer.
I am.
So,
sorry, Jim.
No,
put the hand sanitizer.
Earl puts it on the opposite side of the table.
Jim put the hand sanitizer up. My OCD kicked in. As rare as those instances are.
Tell me your guys' feelings right now on this day, this biggest day for you guys after the Singularity event.
I would say drained is the first one. And I don't want to say vindicated or validated because that means that I expected it. More grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very grateful. You had mentioned it's probably the coolest thing you'd ever seen. It's certainly the coolest thing I've ever done in terms of any kind of live event.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to go off too deep here, but I will say that I am now in a profession, the filmmaking industry, that is known for its duplicitousness.
Yeah.
For its two-facedness, for its insincerity. And I have struggled and strove to always present a sincere face with the audience, to speak plainly, to say, here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And today it was just such a, like, my heart runneth over, because I just say, I step out in front of them and I say, you know, I have wanted to tell you this for so long. You built this. I mean, I built it too. Mm-hmm. There's no question. I have enough sleepless nights to prove I built it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the audience is aware of how integral their role is, and how, as much as they say, oh, you did such a great show, or it's so cool, oh my God, you whatever, it is what they give to me is to me of far more value. I feel like I make out in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I love to entertain people and I love to make them happy, but they make me happy by being happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So today was just, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was watching the video again and I remembered being a little shaky on stage, and I thought I was just shaky on my lines, but I look and I was pretty close to losing it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize it till after, but right when I announced the 25 million, I just about started crying right there, because it's been a very long, hard road. And I mean, this is the beginning of the road. This isn't the end. This is, mm-hmm. Now we have to start the work, but we are so far beyond where most people are. Do you know what I mean? Where it is a validation in the sense that I've seen a lot of friends go off and pursue the more straight and narrow of the film business, go to film school, get a trade,
mm-hmm.
and my stubbornness and perhaps my lack of respect for authority wouldn't let me go that way. And I've always wondered, did I make a mistake? Should I have kissed more ass? Should I have swallowed my pride and whatever else they offered, and and make this work?
Yeah.
You know, do whatever I have to do. And today really said that no, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
We're doing the right thing. So it was, if it blew your mind, it blew my mind 10 times over. So it was a wonderful day.
Really, Dave?
For me, it's just a combination of both elation and exhaustion. You know, there have been so many sleepless nights. Mm. There's been so much work put into all of this. There's been so much energy,
mm-hmm.
that's been directed towards this that, you know, really at this point, it all adds up and you're just bloody exhausted. But to see the reaction of the audience, to see... Literally, I was at the point where he said 25 million homes. I was on the verge of tears.
Me too.
Had goosebumps.
Yep, me too.
I saw everybody react, and it just, it moved me. You know, and I knew this. I knew this was happening. I was moved.
Yeah.
Truly, it is so wonderful to be able to have this experience, to be able to be part of the singularity. You know,
to say I was there.
To say I was there.
You know, it's not just a cool line on a t-shirt.
It's not a cool line on a t-shirt. To be able to say that I was there, and to be able to look at this and go, this is the point where we truly brought our audience to the forefront. This is the point where we went, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly, one of the things that has always been part of this is the sincerity and the love of our audience. Without them, we are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Without every single person that was in that room, the whole event would have been pointless.
That's true.
And nobody would care about Illusion TV if it wasn't for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have a presentation where we can sincerely say, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm. It was
to probably. Be able to have that moment of gratitude.
It's something,
meant a lot to me.
It's something that, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no
it,
worries.
It's something that I realized kind of early on when I first started taking films. In fact, I realized it at the first Balticon when I brought my first short film here a long time ago, Fall of a Saga. It was my first time to ever be recognized for my work, to ever get any kind of appreciation for my work. And I realized something about the nature of celebrity, and it has guided my steps with Stranger Things ever since then. And the thing about celebrity is that it's not yours. When you are the quote-unquote celebrity, I mean, you could say I'm a celebrity today. Today I am king. You know, because everybody sees me, everybody says, oh, we're all doing Stranger Things, Singularity is great. But that celebrity does not belong to me.
Yeah.
It was created in the hearts of the people who saw my work and liked it. Mm-hmm. It's something out of the love that they had for what I did, okay? When they come to me and say, we love your work, would you sign this, would you sign that? They are giving me something very precious. They're saying, we have esteem for you, treat it gently. And when I take as much time as I possibly can to sign everything and let's do photos and let's talk, oh, what do you do? What's your name? Blah, 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 and go back and forth, and have a real conversation, not, I'm so glad you like me. Mm-hmm. I hope that I am returning that back to them. Because if you ever really met somebody you had great esteem for, and they really sat down and talked to you like a person, don't you just feel invigorated?
Very much so.
They are returning that celebrity that you have created. They are giving it back to you because it's yours.
Yeah.
And so that has guided my steps with Stranger Things. And today was the whole event, was this reciprocal energy back and forth between me to the audience and Dave and the audience. And just, it was just a big circle.
And you've touched on something that's become a very big topic. I don't know if you listened to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
I haven't recently, no.
Okay.
But I haven't gotten a chance to listen to anything of recent.
You've been extremely busy.
That's right.
I understand completely.
Amen.
And this thing called PodTaint, which I've latched on to, it's kind of my own thing and I'm running with it, which is, he ran into a lot of people who had that celebrity and abused it greatly, both at BothCon and DragonCon. And Leanne also experienced a lot of
right.
that stuff. And I've witnessed podcasting celebrities at this con take themselves way too seriously.
Oh.
Avoid contact with some of the lesser people.
Right, right.
They've had their clicks, I've noticed.
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One very prominent podcaster, two of his fans were wearing the I Was There buttons. He asked them to remove them.
Today?
Really?
Today.
Really?
Because he didn't want any other brand... He didn't want any other branding in the shot.
Wow.
I heard that I about flipped my lid.
That's madness. Well, you know, but I mean, that's somebody who doesn't understand the nature of celebrity. Because when you think that it's yours, when you think that it's something that you did, that's where you fail, because you don't realize that you lucked into this. You know, you catch an audience on a bad day, and I don't care what you've made, they're not going to like it. They right. just
George Lucas, exactly. Case
well,
in point.
Well, I mean, no, that was a bad movie on a good day.
Selling
but,
your soul.
But
as was proven in Follow the Saga, it was just selling your soul to the devil.
Exactly.
But
you're, right.
But you're one trip away from a downturn.
Exactly right. Right. And to understand, number one, to go in understanding that it could end at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that you are here is grace of God and whatever, and the grace of the audience that they like what you do, and that if you do not recognize that, then, yeah, I mean, do it. Be a dick. Let's see how long it lasts. I'll put myself up against you and we'll see how long we last.
Yeah.
You might get farther faster, but I'll be here longer.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And I don't mean that egotistically. I mean because I want to have a relationship with the people that I am trying to entertain.
Yeah, when it comes to authors, do you want to be a guy like John Scalzi?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to be a guy like Tom Clancy? You know? When people show up, are you rude to them? You know, how do
right.
you treat people? And, you know, it's a reflection on how you treat all human relationships.
Totally.
And one thing about it, like, I try to operate from a position of lack of ego. Because
no, I'm sorry. That joke was there. I'm sorry. Keep going. That was a sincere moment.
That is really fair.
That was sincere. That was a sincere moment, and I crashed it. I'm so sorry.
Since I am a gangsta, so you know.
Any man with hair like Dave's, he can't possibly have at least some ego. For God's sake, go ahead.
You know, but I really do try to come from that standpoint, and one of the biggest influences on the way I act and the way I handle all of this. It is Henry Rollins.
I knew
the
you
man.
Henry
you knew
totally,
I was going to say
totally,
Henry
totally.
Rollins. The man inspires me, That man will go up on stage, perform for hours and hours and hours off on end. And then, once he is done, once he is off stage, once he has had his moment, he will go out and he will autograph and take pictures and spend hours with the audience outside the stage door.
Mm-hmm.
And that man is an inspiration to me because although he has all this fame, although he has his own show on the Independent Film Channel, although he's been in movies, he's famous for his spoken word. You know, I will pay $50 to go see his spoken word
mm-hmm.
at a performing arts center. He will still take the time to go, look, without you, I am nothing. I feel obligated to be here because if it weren't for you, I am nothing. Yeah. I am out of a job.
Right.
And I truly appreciate all the support, all the love that you give.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to operate from that point where I can go, look, this is all about y'all. This isn't about me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to draw from that and to sort of return that is beyond inspirational for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, in regard to the podcast thing, you know, we podcasters really at this point are nothing. You know, we're almost a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not a profession.
On wood.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to change that, sir.
There is a certain degree, obviously, being a new delivery method, mm-hmm. new concept of how to do things, and part of that experiment is the bridge over into traditional ways of doing things and sort of figuring out where it's all going. It's all kind of in flux right now,
mm-hmm.
and things are happening for you guys. To put you in a place where you're going to reach more people through traditional methods,
mm-hmm.
but you're not bypassing the podcasting methods to go. See, now mm-hmm. we're real TV producers.
See, here's how I look at that. Because, yeah, even when I was first approached about the deal, there was a little bit of that thought, like, well, maybe we should pull the podcast and now we become a real TV show. But the thing that has sort of poisoned our culture right now is we think, oh, it's on the internet, it's not as valuable. When the truth is content is content is content wherever it is. Everything else is just the tubes that got it there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you could have TV shaped tubes or you could have computer shaped tubes, but they're all just tubes. And I had a great discussion with a very famous podcaster, and we were talking a little bit about how I should proceed, because you know I lean a lot on the experience of those who have gone before me. And one of the things I took away from the conversation, he didn't say this directly, but I inferred it, and it has stuck with me. In the age we are in now, when it comes to a choice about your content, about whether to share it or to not share it, share it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't and that applies to everything.
Absolutely.
Should we put the show on YouTube? Should we not put the show on? We should. Why? Because we should share it. If it's a question of should we share it or not, we should share it. It should mm-hmm. always be that way. Because it makes financial sense. It makes business sense. If you look at it the point of view of, and this is how I have looked at my career from day one. If you look at it from the point of view of a long term, when I go in front of the audience, I'm not saying, God, make me a millionaire today. You know, I don't want to be a millionaire today.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pay my bills, and I want to continue to do the work that I seem to have a talent for and that people respond to and it makes me happy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes me 20 years to develop it into a situation where it's comfortable, 20 years is how long it took. I don't mind. What else am I going to do? I would be doing this if I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is that when you look at it from a share or do not share point of view, the people who say do not share are looking at it from a very short term. What can I do with this little piece of content and how much money can I make from this? And it's like that you're trying to clench the grains of sand as the shore washes them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll be left with seawater and other people have a castle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. So I feel very strongly about this just because I feel like in business today, there is in entertainment, there's a supreme lack of sincerity. And in fact, it's mm-hmm. almost now popular to be insincere.
Right. Yeah, and the key about podcasting is the community building. You know, with things like Twitter,
definitely.
Facebook, MySpace, you're building a community. And like you said, your celebrity is from your fans, the people who appreciate what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the word fan has become a different thing, because now in podcasting, your fans become your friends.
Yes. Right.
Your fans become people, like you say, you owe something to.
And it really truly is part of the revolution that has been Web 2.0. Things that really drew its roots from the movements of Napster and MySpace and Facebook, where it goes beyond just one-directional feeds. It goes into that interactive model, which is something that, you know, on some level has been lacking in our culture and society over the past 20 or so years. But I think that through these devices, through Twitter, through all these social networks, we are now starting to rebuild these almost tribal aspects, almost these truly social networks. And that is crucial, you know, in my opinion, to the human experience.
I think it's something worth adding, that something that people are maybe even now just starting to realize but don't want to admit, really don't want to admit. They know it, don't want to admit it. Content creators like myself, we don't control it anymore.
Yep.
There are no keys. There is no larder. There is no padlock to protect it. When it goes into the world, it is its own thing now. You know how they used to say an artist released his work to the world and it is the world? It truly is now. And the only way that you can hope to survive as a professional and as a person who wants to live a decent human life interacting with other humans, you have got to take it on faith. You have got to bring goodwill to it. And you've got to say, look, I know that, you know, if I release a DVD of Stranger Things, you could totally rip it and just sell it on the internet. And, I mean, I can't stop you from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ever want to see any more Stranger Things stuff, go for it. Because, I mean, that's just my business. I mean, like, if you want me to keep doing it, help me keep doing it. If you don't want me to do it, don't, you know?
Right.
And that doesn't sound good in a business plan.
No, but it ends the White Tower concept.
And that's the thing, is the White Tower concept is already gone, and all the millionaires are sitting around the rubble going, wait a second, hold on. You know, I mean, it's gone already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the White Tower concept for as much, I mean, and basically the RIAA and their ilk are just trying to build it back up again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's nothing left to build. You know what I mean? And I don't say that like, oh, let's go out and pirate things. I'm just saying this is the way the world is now.
They're remnants of an old way of life.
Maybe we don't want them to pirate it. Maybe we do. I'd rather willingly give my stuff away and say, if you like it, support me. If you don't like it, then I haven't done my job.
It's a truer expression of the democratic American way.
Mm.
I mean, capitalism has made stuff what they are, but this is a true democratic approach, a true community
right.
approach, where it's not necessarily what have you done for me lately, but it's, do you give me something meaningful?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I want to put my time into and reinvest in the creator. And a lot of people are forgetting that reinvestment, that investment of time, of energy, of just, I mean, it's easy to turn on a TV and sit there and absorb what the
mm-hmm.
BoobTube gives you, what the media gives you. It's easy to go out there and be disappointed by what Hollywood is putting out because a lot of it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it because it's there, and that's what we've done all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But as people soon realize, hey, there's good stuff. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is go on a website and find it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's bridging that gap that becomes the key. And I think it increases the ability for people to educate themselves. It takes away the laziness.
I heard a quote one time. It said that professionalism is a conspiracy against the laity.
Hmm.
And that the only reason why quote-unquote professionals can exist, basically, is because they hoard secrets from the layman. In today's day and age,
it's all about share of knowledge.
When I sit down, I've done many panels at this point. I've been all over Balticon this weekend doing panels, talking about how to make movies, how to do scripts, things like that. The only thing now, because of the information that's available in our world, the only thing now that separates me, if there is any separation, from the people who are asking me questions, is the amount of work I've put into it. and the amount of studying and effort that I've put into it. Beyond that, it's a brave new world. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do this.
Yeah.
And the sooner that people realize that, like you said, there is no White Tower, there is no special degree, there is no special recommendation, there is no resume that is going to make you in the new world. It's going to be what have you done for me lately, but it's going to be a grateful what have you done for me lately. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I know we've gone like roundabout talking about basically how we felt about the day today. But
let me ask you specifically about the content of the show without giving anything away.
Sure. No. I mean, when are you going to release it?
When are you releasing?
I'm going to release by this Wednesday. So.
Oh, so what we saw today will be on.
Yes.
The announcement.
It's some kind will be of some kind.
Some.
Yeah. So far, I don't know how well the camera recorded it, but we'll.
Okay, but you're going the announcement.
We will let people know. So yeah, as long as you don't release before Wednesday. We're
okay,
fine.
Good. Yeah, that's fine, because this is going to be quite a bit probably to parse down.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Well, it'll be long, no, but it's just maybe this particular part because we're having a great discussion here. In the episode,
yes,
main character experiences a sea change. He is doing something helpful of a certain person, yet it's not the most moral thing
right
for him to be helping him with.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that this other individual with the power that he has, more power, is abusing this power. And it's up to him. He realizes it's his place to go in and rectify the situation.
Uh-huh.
It's a really fascinating metaphor compared to what we're dealing with right now. Because the what was the key? Lock?
Latch key?
Latch keepers. The story centers around people being able to having the ability to open doors
mm-hmm.
into other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling watching this was, when you have the ability to open doors,
uh-huh.
you take a great responsibility in what you do with it.
This is true.
Absolutely.
And whether if you open the door and you feel like it's your power, your place, your thing, you will abuse it. And
it's okay, so
similar to the revolutionary aspect of our community.
Then let me, because I think I know, I want to reword that, because I think I know exactly what you're saying. The danger comes when you have this ability and you look at it as your power rather than as your responsibility.
Spider-Man.
Seriously, exactly. I mean, sincerely,
yes.
I don't mean Manly to go to the Spider. I don't mean to go the Spider-Man route, but that's basically what it is.
Yep.
When you look at this as something I have more than other people, rather than as this thing which makes me more responsible than others. When you take responsibility for the things that you're able to do completely, I mean, that was definitely one of the themes of this. Is what do you do? Basically, what do you do when you can do anything?
Yeah.
And then what does life mean if you could have anything? And if you could, you'd be around forever and you could know every language and read every book because you had time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a part of us that always says, well, I'll never get to everything. And these people can have everything, whatever they want. What meaning does life have? I mean, there's a line in the episode where he says, do you think it would be easier to be mortal? Do you think it would be easier to believe that life had a purpose if you didn't have to live long enough to see that there wasn't one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and for me, this episode meant so much because I see a lot of that in society. People who live without a purpose, people who live without, who have accumulated so much that they reach a level of comfort, which is like the dead zone.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer have any more drive to reach higher or to do something with what they have. They live now almost out of fear, just to protect what they already do have.
Mm.
And what meaning does life have at that point, you know? And where do you find, why get up? Why get up if you have everything? Why get up if you're comfortable, you know?
Right.
The only reason we leave the bed is because we have to, you know?
Yeah. And I do want you to know that like Dave said, when you're up there making this announcement, you know, a lot of people were cheering and having a great time, and I was just like, I was so proud for you guys, because you know, we hit it off right off the bat, and you guys have been so generous with your time, and
as much as you have,
yeah, you're the ones who devote
20 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour here, there, every other.
I'm just talking about the con. I'm just saying, like, you know, we've just been hanging out. Like, yeah. You know, I don't look at that as like I'm being generous with my time, but yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you respect my time that much. But I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we're hanging out.
Yeah, and to the whole thing, the story is Matt Wallace's. Sure. You know, and the parts of that story touched me with the wife and the son trying to get away from the abusive father.
Yeah.
And very, very touching story for me in that regard. Not that it was direct correlation to my life, but it affected me. You know, and a lot of people maybe look at this as like, oh, this is really cool. This is really great. What a great story. What a great thing for Earl and Dave.
Right.
But there was a real power in this thing. And the people that missed it missed a big, big deal.
That's very strange that you say that, because that was one of the things that both Matt and I were very key about, is that side story could have been very stock. It could have been very, oh no, bad guy, he's got to run. But we were very careful to make sure that there were these threads all the time of what about the relationship between Seth and his mom, and you know, you always, I feel like watching the episode, you get this feeling like he's at that cusp of manhood. He's not quite there, but he knows he should be protecting his mom. He doesn't have the wherewithal, the ability. So, in one sense, the story is Seth's story. Because if you look at, and I mean, we can, I'll let this go. Little bit of a spoiler warning for good folks here. If you look by the end of the story, he stands up for his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you imagine a 15-year-old boy standing up to his father. That's a powerful thing. So... So yeah, there was a lot of meaning in all of the side stories for this, except for the gangster, except for Wilson. He was just straight up popcorn. There was there was nothing there, but yep. Oh my God, he was so cool to look at.
Yeah.
So
his line, he obviously had the funniest lines.
Oh yeah, you know? Just Matt wrote him so perfectly, and then Nate Panning, who performed as Wilson. I mean, there is nothing more pleasurable to a director than being able to say nothing.
Yeah.
I pride myself that I'm the kind of director that I won't say anything. You know what I mean? Like, if it's good, I don't want to fuck it up. You know? So I will just step back. It looks good to me. Let's keep rolling.
Yeah.
Give us some direction. You're fine. I'll tell you when you suck. Keep going. So, no, the Nate was one of those that was... I mean, they all were very good, but Nate was one of those that just brought this enormous charisma and really was able to go toe-to-toe with Quentin, nonetheless, the Quentin being the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just a joy. And Quentin is such a giving actor on that side, too, because there's many actors who wouldn't allow themselves to go to that place of being intimidated or to be afraid on camera. And he did that. It was just tremendous. So all the actors were great to work with.
Okay. I want to get Jet in here real quick. Mistress Jet.
Hello, Jet.
You're part of a zombie fiction show. Tell us real quick, what's that? What is it?
Oh, 118 Migration?
Great idea for a story, by the way. I am jealous as hell.
I play Caroline. She's not been completely introduced yet, but that will happen.
You're doing voice acting. You had a fairly short-lived podcast.
Yes, I did have, I had Jet Show for a while. It still is there, but I haven't done anything for a long, long time. So.
Any plans on resurrecting it?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. You're from a tent con attendee, you know, you're not necessarily a content creator, you're just sort of here to meet folks, and you were there at Singularity. What did you think of it?
It blew me away. Every time I hear that theme, that opening theme song, I get goosebumps, and it gives me a little chill.
Yeah, I want to get Dave. For just I want to get Dave.
Say, absolutely.
I've been hearing this song for getting close to 2 years now, and still I am continually impressed with how perfect it is and how much I'm touched by the song and how, like, truly it fits with everything. So
I think you're getting a phone call. Is that right? Do I hear your phone ringing?
I think it's in my pocket.
That's right. It looks like it's ringing to me, because...
Let me turn my ringer on Audible.
Dave's phone. That's how much Dave likes the song.
Well, now that's something to say for that too.
No bullshit here. truly, every time my phone rings, unless somebody has a specialty ringtone, right. Every time my phone rings, it is the Stranger Things theme. Not because I'm like, oh, look at me, look at me. Just because, even though I'm part of it, I truly am that much of a fanboy of my own show.
Me too. But you were talking about the theme song.
Sorry.
It gets my adrenaline going.
Yeah.
So no, I like the theme. The theme song is great. The special effects you guys do are top notch, and I love it. It's great. It's awesome.
What'd you think of when he made the announcement that Stranger Things was going to be on TV?
I was floored. It's something that you feel so elated for that for the two of you. It was an elation. It was incredible. So awesome. I'm so happy for you guys, and I told you guys before, but I'm so happy for you guys to have achieved this.
Well, like I said, even in the update, I mean, it's, and I hate to sound like I'm sloughing off responsibility. I'm not. I know, trust me, I know I have worked on this show. I have earned this, knock on wood, without egotism. I have put in enough work to feel like I'm a part of this, but don't touch that. Oh, I just touched something green and naughty. but
sleep? What is sleep?
But there is no show without the audience.
Absolutely.
Without the audience, you're talking to yourself. And so I fully recognize that. And that's why I was so clear to say, this is your victory.
Mm-hmm.
This is your victory as much as it is mine. And I mean, you can say in your head, well, not really. It's really Earl's show. Da, da, da. This is your victory. It would not exist without you.
Yeah.
So I'm just grateful.
And the thing that I love about it the most is that it gives us the ability to expand broader audiences. Because the thing about it is, you know, as much as I love the podcasting audience, my grandmother is close to 90 years old and can't figure out a computer. This gives people like my grandmother, people like our relatives, who don't have an opportunity to see the show online, a venue through which they can see it. Mm-hmm. So it gives the audience the ability to go, hey, mom and dad, guess what? I understand, you know, assuming the quote-unquote individual here is adult, whatever, I understand you're not totally computer savvy. Check it out on this station. This gives us the ability to share, the ability for everybody to share what they enjoy with broader audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and truly to be able to go, hey, Graham, turn the TV on this channel and you can watch. And not have to worry about figuring out how to download the show. Not have to worry about all the technical issues.
Yeah.
You're from a traditional media background. Just turn on the TV here.
Yep.
You know, that is one of the most incredible things about all this.
It also helps raise the awareness about podcasting, because that's something I'm very sincere about as well. And because we're now in more mainstream mediums, that doesn't mean we're not going to be telling them about the podcast. The honest truth is, we would prefer if people watch it on television. The only reason why is because currently, advertisers respect television and not podcasting.
It validates their investment in
exactly.
You.
So, I know, and the audience and I are kind of winking at each other on this. Like, you're still getting the show either way. But if you turn it on to this tube, I can make it really cool. And if you turn it on to this tube, I can make it pretty cool with what I have available. So I am not afraid of promoting podcasting, because I think that I can be sincere with the audience and say, look, if you have a choice, watch it on TV. It'd be better for me if you'd watch it on TV.
Yeah.
And I will make the show better. So, anyway.
But the thing that Earl and I have been talking about since this came up is, at no point do we ever want to walk away from our podcasting audience. This is where our roots are. Mm-hmm. These are the people who, as you said, brought us to the dance. And we are going to live in the podcasting venue as long as the music is playing. You know, truly, they are the podcasting audience is as much part of this show as anything out there. So, you know,
it's a powerful
although
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although we are going into this new medium, truly, this we're hoping will be the blend of these two different mediums of syndication, and be one of the first sort of ventures into this and going, look, we can do both and not suffer for it.
Right. And to prove that that can happen. So, yes, it has been a ride. It has been a ride. It has been a long ride. But, like I said before, this is just the beginning. We're in the door now. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have worked the last 18 months to say, we can make this happen. Yeah. And now now you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Before, this was just what I could do in my backyard. Wait till I can, you know, wait till all I have to do is think about this and not think about, you know, everything else. There's going to be some amazing things.
And you know what makes it exciting for me? And I'm not the kind of guy to toot my own horn, but my philosophy for this whole con thing, for the social media thing, is win friends, maybe influence people, but win friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what's good in life, is loving people, being loved by people. And not just coming to make contacts and find the next.
Yeah, when people say networking and network building and community building, it just puts a big sour taste in my mouth.
I think there's a big difference between network and community. There needs to be a distinction for sure, right. Because community, it's mutual benefit. Yeah. Networking, it's personal benefit.
Right.
And so I'm very encouraged by you, Earl, that if I feel like I have a decent idea, you're going to give it some thought and look at it.
And the key thing on that is, and I've told this to tell it to you, I've told it to name your favorite podcaster, because we get approached by a lot of the people you'd recognize saying, I'd like to do a blah 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 for Stranger Things.
Well, and Scott Sigler was Sacred Cow with the first episode of Stranger Things.
I mean, we came out of the box pretty hot and heavy. What I have told everybody is, I totally want to hear it. If it sucks, I'm gonna tell you. But if it's good, I'm gonna tell you. You know, it's so hard to do that, because you just want everybody to be like, oh, it's awesome. You know, Matt Wallace is a professional screenwriter and went through 5 or 7 different pitches before he came up with something where I was like, that's Latch Keepers, that's a Stranger Things episode, let's make that work.
Yeah.
And but you know, I'm interested. So if you have an idea, throw it out.
So real quick, define what Stranger Things is looking for. To do what you are trying to accomplish as far as creatively with this.
What I'm trying to accomplish with it?
Well,
or what am I looking for in an episode?
What your bent is, you know? Yeah, what you're looking for
what
in
do
an
I
episode?
Look for in an episode when somebody
similar
comes to
like
me,
the Twilight Zone has a particular feel to it.
It's very strange because all the things.
What's apropos?
It's very strange because
it's stranger. Not just strange.
What I look for has very little to do with the tone, and that's really what Twilight Zone is known for, with their sort of eerie tone.
Uh-huh.
What I look for is a couple of things. One, logistically, it has to be set in the modern world, because the idea of Stranger Things is that this is happening today. It could be. I mean, and we give some plus or minus. You know, if you want to set it back 10 years or 15 years, or in the future, 10 or 15
years. It also
years.
Makes it easier on scouting locations,
totally,
set completely. Design.
I mean, when you live in the desert, you build sandcastles.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You build adobe huts.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that you take what you have around you and you say, this is my strength now.
Yep.
So it has to be set in modern day. One of the things is it has to be a good idea. It has to pop with a good idea. And, you know, some people call that high concept. I don't really know what those terms mean. I don't care.
Yeah.
What it has to be is when you say it to somebody, they're kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat. I'd like to, that makes me think of things in a way I haven't thought of before. So it has to have that. And then after you have that shroud of neatness, it has to be about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a human story there. It has to be, there's a person and he's going through a real problem. And how does he get over it? I mean, I think Latch Keepers is my best work so far, simply because of the catharsis that the main character goes through by the end.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like of all the work I've ever done, you see that growth. You see that transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
More than in any other episode I've ever done. I've come close to it in times past. I've come close to it and never quite hit it. And in this one, I feel like you go through the character's experience, you feel what he feels, and then at the end, you are changed by it. So that would be my goal for Stranger Things. So anybody who submits ideas, that's what I'm looking for.
And part of the things that I have always, you know, as an outsider and as an insider, loved about Stranger Things and all the work that's been done is that it really sort of touches upon the roots of science fiction, which was not about the technology, was never about the great scientific advances. What it truly is about is the human experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yep. what science fiction and where its roots really come from is looking at what it is to be human.
Yep.
You know, mind you, I do study anthropology, so humans are kind of my thing. But
I think it's
something that everybody looks at. Yeah. I think it's something that is part of human nature, is to look at humans and see ourselves within each other. And I think that that's truly one of the greatest things about science fiction. That's one of the reasons why I've always been drawn to it and have always loved it. And I think that, you know, try not to pat Earl on the back here, but I think that's one of the great things that I've, as a fan, have always loved of the show.
Mm-hmm. You know, pat me on the back all you want, Dave.
But science fiction has always been about what is it like to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love. You know, that's what these shows represent. And that's really kind of
Target. I'll give you a perfect example. When we did Sacred Cow, it's about leeches eating your prayers. And I had to talk to a priest to let us get into a church to shoot this.
Yeah.
And I told him exactly what the story was about. I said, look, there's a lot of very controversial, from a Christian point of view, very controversial elements in this. This is a story about a man confronting faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about a man confronting the facade of faith and saying, is my faith the bricks and the mortar, or is it something that transcends all that? And, I mean, maybe it's not as clear in that episode, but for me, what I was trying to say in that is, you have got to, whatever your faith is, I'm not saying go be Christian or Buddhist or whatever, I'm just saying whatever it is that you find strength in, you have got to transcend the flesh and the bone and the mortar and the steel, because these are all just idols. And you have got to go to the source again. The idols are only there to get you to the source. So for me, that is, let's talk about humanity. Let's talk about problems that I have. You know, let's talk about problems that I see my friends have. That's the kind, what do you do when you don't have any purpose? What do you do when you're going through life and you just feel like there is nothing? That everything I do today is going to be the same thing as I did yesterday. And I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. Where do you go from there? So that's my whole purpose for Stranger Things. If you send me an idea that's like that, I'll be like, yes.
That's cool. So the website, if you have not been there, strangerthings.tv, I'm going to make a confession. I did not buy into Stranger Things when everybody else did.
Okay.
When everybody else said, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Sure, just another vidcast, right?
Sure.
And, Scott Sigler, Sacred Cow, and everybody was going through their worship of Scott Sigler. And
sure.
I read a story for Scott Sigler. I love Scott Sigler. No offense against him, dang. but
his implant was starting to twitch, ladies and gentlemen.
I got this strange itch in my arm and somewhere else. but when I finally decided, well, I bought a 4-gig Nano with the head video.
Cool.
It's like, I'm going to go finally check out Earl's little show. I was pleased to find out there wasn't a glut of things. I was like, okay, get a good bite-sized pieces of this Stranger Things. And I am literally amazed at how it touches on that human dynamic. You know, that it's not about the prayer leeches.
Right.
It's about the pastor and his relationship with the man who's learning disabled, who's also borderline genius, how he's there to take care of him, and how ultimately there is success with heartbreak and failure at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you're right, it transcends all the tropes of the genre and gets down to humanity, which that's exactly where I'm at, because the real science fiction that does it right is the social science. It's the human relationship to everything else around you. Put Star Wars in a medieval time, it's not about the setting. It's not about the ships, the lightsabers, anything. It's about the characters and what they go through.
Exactly. And I really just think that I'm lucky, the fact that I get to add in cool laser beams and effect. I mean, that, because what it is you just let you let your inner adult out to play, and you let your inner child out to play, and they hold hands. You know what I mean? That's the idea of the show. Is that in one level, you could be like, that, oh my God, that was so... And on the other hand, you go, you know, I haven't thought about it that way before.
It's like pushing your kids on a swing. That's what I do, you know? The practical standpoint is, don't want to go too fast so the kid doesn't fall off. The kid's going, wee, you know?
That's right. I'm like,
so, it's, you know, you're absolutely right. The adult part of us provides a structure. Well, Jesus said, come to me as a little child. This is what the kingdom of heaven is made of. Because a child explores things and questions things and genuinely appreciates things that they discover.
And see, that you raised that, you say Jesus said, that it brings up something interesting. I'm often accused of putting religious overtones in all of my films. And I'm not trying to do that. The only problem is that really the only people who are talking in a, I mean, you, look, there's negatives and positives on both sides, but the places where you most often find connotations and people discussing human development and the human experience, the actual human experience, not the consumer experience.
Yeah.
It's in religion. It's in some kind of religion. It's not necessarily Christianity or Buddhism or what have you, but it's in Taoism and it's in philosophies. Mm. It's in whatever. And if you want to do any kind of program that addresses those kind of issues, I think you're a fool not to draw on the pre-existing assumptions of what is already there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't ever think I've done a cliche episode where it was like, Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? I'm not preaching a message. Yeah. What I'm saying is, here are the things that we have in our society, and here's what the world tells you, and here's what so-and-so tells you. What do these mean to you, and what if we put them in this context? Do they mean the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So...
Right.
So if I get hit for being having religious overtones, it's just because I'm asking the kind of questions that religion's asking. Yeah. So,
And I just want people to understand that if you're at the same place I am, where Stranger Things is like the next cool thing that all the cool kids are going to check out, it is far more than that, because it's not just the next cool sci-fi thing, interesting experiment. It really is something that you're working hard to make of quality and make something different. And it really is ingenious the way you do these things. And
thank you.
You know, it's just, it simply is one of the coolest things in the world.
so you go all around the post to come back and say, and that's awesome.
Yeah,
and you darn know, awesome. one of the things about this has always been, Earl wanted to create a show that he wanted to watch.
Yep.
That's true.
And this show has always been about, what do we want to see? You know?
Like an author writes books that they would want to read.
Yeah. Exactly.
And because it's very hard, and I feel like we've just gone off on so many tangents, but it is very hard to, when you're in the entertainment business, to do that. Because there are, every person you run into is telling you, what you want doesn't work. What you think doesn't matter. There's a consumer market there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that you have to please. So you have to sort of guess to the mindset of people you don't identify with, people whose lives you don't understand. And there was a friend of mine who, when I was first getting out, said this to me, and it clarified everything. He said, I make the kind of work that I like because I'm not the only me that's out there.
Yeah.
There are other me's.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be enough me's so that I can make this fly, and maybe there aren't. That's what we're finding out now. It just turns out there seem to be a lot of people who are into the same kind of thing I am. So, which is crazy, because I'm a social outcast. So the fact that all you people like the same thing I do, madness. It's total madness.
Yeah. All right, Earl Newton, Dave Cantor, Mistress Jet.
Indiana Jim,
thank you for I can't thank myself. Thank you guys for coming.
No problem.
But we can thank you, sir.
Yes, I do thank you sincerely. This is easily one of the most interesting interviews I've done so far. Because we don't usually get to talk about these things. They're very important to me because I am putting the time into thinking about them. I'm not going to put them in people's face, but I do think about these things. So the fact to get to talk about them a little bit is just delightful, especially today after like the huge roller coaster that we've had. This just caps it. So I'm honored.
Wow.
Oh,
thank you so much.
No spill computer.
Spill computer on the water, or spill water on the computer. Dave, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you.